today's message called My Fathers and My Mothers. Boy, it's hard to say that. I've got to be real careful. Here we go. I Want God's Favor on My Family is the series we're in right now. And there it is. My Fathers and My Mothers. Can you try to say it? It's not easy. Let's try it. My Fathers and My Mothers. All right? Today's message is about understanding your role in relationship. Understanding your role in relationship. It's what the Bible says. The Bible's going to be our guide, our handbook today for looking at understanding our role in the family relationship. And that's the series we're in right now. And it's what the Lord has given me to do, on my heart. And the thoughts today, if you don't like them, they come from me, so you know who not to like, okay? Here they go. Adam and Eve, let's go. And I put this up today, and that is this. Boom. You're not going all the way back to that Adam and Eve stuff, are you? Here's the answer. Yeah. Here we go. Let's go. Let's move it back. Let's go back. Let's look at some scriptures. Genesis 2, 20, verse 20 through 25. Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. There was no woman. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs. Ouch. He closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God took from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. That was a good day. Let's keep moving. Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man what? Leave, help me here, his father and mother and what? Shall cleave unto his wife and they two shall be what? One flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. All right, so now let's keep going. Here's what Paul had to say. Similar, the Apostle Paul said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be what? One flesh. And I need you to help me today. I could use that encouragement. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse number 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That ought to help you with your thinking. Verse 7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his what? Wife. And I say this, and I don't mean to be ugly, but you need to hear it again. It's not about Adam. It's about Adam and Eve. It's not about Adam and Steve. Okay? Look at the Bible. You ought to let the Word of God be your guide. I don't know what you do. If you don't anchor your faith in the Word of God, your belief and have a value system that's based on the Scriptures, you're just going to be like a wave tossed to and fro, not know what to think. This is what Jesus said. And the two of them shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two or twain, but one. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Haven't you heard that at weddings before? You thought it was just a fancy preacher making up something, didn't you? That's what Jesus said. Well, let's move on with the message this morning. A man and woman get married. They're to leave, back it up. They're to leave father and mother. And the two are to become one flesh. Now we're going to roll. Here we go. One flesh doesn't mean one person or one will. Can you say that with me? One flesh doesn't mean one person or one will. In marriage, this might seem so simple. There are still two people. And there are still two wills. You can see Joy and I. And we've been married almost 22 years. I tell you often, man, it's a miracle this lady stuck out with me. You know? You see how I am on stage? Awful, ain't it? You know? But I tell you what, we're two people. We're two completely different people. We have two wills. Okay? So being one flesh doesn't mean you become one person or one will. Keep moving. One flesh means one family. That's who we are. The Clarks. We're family. It means this. It means one in relationship. Doesn't mean we're going to be exactly the same. But we have one common goal, don't we? One purpose. That is this family and the relationship that she and I have together. You do have different roles. And Roger, we're going to pick up the speed just a little bit. You do have different roles, but you're together, but different. You're together, but you're different. All cell phones off in the house. Amen. Here we go. Blessing and favor flows from God when we understand our roles and we work together for completeness. Blessing and favor, that's what this series is called. I want God's favor on my family. I want His favor on our relationship. relationship. I want that. I desire that. Well, if I'm going to have the blessing of God and favor on my relationship, I've got to understand my role. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I feel like I'm digging a hole here. I got to understand my role and my relationship, and we have to work together for completeness if I'm going to have the favor of God on my family. You can pray till the cows come home, but if you're not completing your role and fulfilling the role that God has designed for you, you're praying a dumb prayer. You need to pray to God, help you understand your role. That's what we're here for today. By design. And I know I'm going to say some things today that some of you aren't going to agree with, and that's all right, because your argument's not with me, it's with the Bible. It's funny how we believe Jesus died on the cross. We believe He rose from the grave. We believe I can have my sins forgiven. Glory, hallelujah. But now this marriage thing, and what He says about that, I don't believe that. You just can't pick and choose like that, friend. God is an awesome God. He's a holy God. He's creator. He's designer. And what His Word says, we need to believe. Amen or omen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's keep moving. By design, the woman is the weaker vessel. What? 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the what? Weaker vessel. And as being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. By design, a woman is a weaker vessel. That means just flat out, generally speaking, men are stronger than women. Is that? Can we understand that much? Can we? We're together on that page. I'm not saying it's in all situations, but generally speaking, that is the situation. Second thing, by design, the man is to labor and to lead the family. Do you hear me? That's design. The man has been designed to labor and to lead the family. Back to Genesis, talking a bit about Adam here. After they had sinned, verse 16, unto the woman, He said, I greatly multiply your sorrow and conception. In sorrow you'll bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree, of which I command you, saying, thou shalt eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles will come forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it were you taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So the first thing we see about a man and a woman, my fathers, my mothers, we're going to get there, we ain't there yet, that generally speaking, women, they're the weaker vessel. And the man is to labor and to sweat and to provide for his family. Let's keep moving. Do you want God's favor in your family? Yes or no this morning? You want God's favor in your family? Let's keep moving. Then know your role. Know your role, your responsibility in your relationship. And that's where this message is going right now. We're going to discuss some of that. Genesis 18, I thought of a couple. Who could I talk about just to get us going in this direction? This is Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 18. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He set the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now have I found favor in thy sight, cast not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. This is Abraham speaking. Skip through several verses down to verse 9. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah your wife? He said, Behold, she's in the tent. He said, I'll certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, which was behind it. She had peeking. You know that. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. They were well stricken in age. They were way beyond the years of ever having a baby. And it ceased from Sarah after the manner of women. That means she wasn't having a child. Therefore Sarah what? Laughed. Ha! In herself. After I'm waxed old, I'm going to have pleasure. You figure that out. My Lord being old also. Verse 13. The Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, I shall surely bear a child, which am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'd like you to think about that today in your marriage. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. Let's keep reading. Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. For she was afraid. And he said, No, you did laugh. And the men rose up from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them along the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And this verse really spoke to my heart.
For I know him, God speaking, that Abraham will command his children. Did you see that? Did it say Sarah will command the children or Abraham? He will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Now a couple of thoughts, and I know I'm just rambling a little, but try to hang in here with me if we could. Was this couple, Abraham and Sarah, a perfect couple? Yes or no? You need to get that out of your head that you can't have a good relationship, because our relationship, it ain't like Gary and Joyce. You don't know how Gary and Joyce is, okay? And in most cases, friend, that's just a bunch of bull. Most people, how many couples in here, let's hear it with an amen, have trouble? Can you say amen? Let's say it real loud, cast the trouble out. Go, one more time.
Amen.
You hear me? So stop looking and thinking that you're the only one that doesn't have a perfect relationship. Their relationship was not perfect, but keep looking. I mean, listen to that. Abraham believed God, the Bible said. What'd Sarah do? Laugh at God. Look at this. Abraham deceived. You remember the story of Abraham, how that he went down to Egypt? And what did he tell him? He said, now, Sarah, say that you're my what?
Sister.
And he deceived that man, and it was wrong, and it was horrible. And she followed him. This wasn't a perfect marriage, I'll tell you that. Look at the next one. Abraham yielded, and Sarah suggested, what's that about? She wasn't having that baby. It just wasn't happening. So she said, why don't you go sleep with the maid?
Whoa! Their marriage wasn't perfect.
Was it? And Abraham did it. It's not about being perfect, friend. You've got to get that out of your head right now. Okay, let's keep moving. They messed up, and you and I mess up. In our marriage, we mess up sometimes. But they learned to follow. They learned to follow God. They learned design. They learned pattern. They learned relationship, and they learned to follow God. And they received the blessing of God for it. Listen, if a couple can do the things they did and still have the blessing of God on their life, I think you can make it too. Amen? I think you can make it. By the way, in case you don't think they made it, hey, they made it to the Hebrews chapter 11 Hall of Faith. Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should go after to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose building maker was God. Through faith also Sarah, look at her, the laugher, she received strength to conceive seed. She was delivered of a child, and she was past age because she judged him faithful. I guess that means you can laugh sometimes and not believe, and you can struggle, but you can still come back around and get right with the Lord. Amen? And you can believe, and great things can happen in your life. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky, in multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So, now let's move quickly to where we want to get. And that is that we need to learn to follow. They learn to follow. We need to learn to follow in a relationship. But it's going to come about knowing that the two become one flesh. You're not one person, one mind. You need to learn your role and work that together. And it's beautiful what God has. It's not about being perfect. None of us are ever going to be that. You need to know that. Keep moving. It's about believing God and our relationships. And understanding the role God has for us. Husband, wife, father, and mother. And I believe now we're going to Ephesians 5. I'm going to talk about the husband first. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's a huge verse. You ought to underline that in your Bible right there, by the way. That's the key to marriage. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Say it with me. Even as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. So let's look at the role of the husband. Boom. I've been trying to get here. Here we are. The husband father. He's the head of the wife. He's the leader. You're kidding me.
You're one of those old-fashioned pastors that believe that.
Yeah, I do. I believe the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? I know a lot of husbands aren't. We're going to talk about that. But the husband's the head of the wife. He's the leader. Say this with me. It's not about what? Pride, but design.
plan, a design for you. The husband father bears much of the responsibility for the family. The husband and father, it's on him. It's on you today, friend, whether you believe it or not. You bear the responsibility for your family before a holy God. The husband will personally give an accounting to God for his works. You are going to give an account for your role as father, as dad in that home. You're going to stand before God one day and give an account for it. Corinthians, he talks about rewards and being judged before the Lord. Let's skip on past that. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. So what does head leader mean today? What does that mean? Here's what we're just going to rattle it off. As I've said in the scriptures, here's what it means. To sacrifice. Okay, ladies, see if you'd like this kind of man. To sacrifice. Number two, to provide. Number three, to love. Number four, to give. Next, to die to self. Next, to honor. Next, to nourish. Next, to cherish. Friend, what lady wouldn't want that man? Say, huh? Ladies, would you take him? Say, yeah, baby! That's what leadership means. Leadership doesn't mean, I'm in charge, we're going to do it my way, I'm the head of this household. Friend, you're pathetic. Pitiful. Hey, look, and I fail, I fall, I make mistakes, if Abraham did, I am. Amen. It happens, okay? But the fact of the matter, this is what leadership is. And for my husband. A couple of things about the husband. And this is the way I feel. I didn't read this somewhere other than just the scriptures. Generally speaking, the man is stronger physically and more resolute or firm. Okay? We're not the same. I'm not saying this is true every single situation, but generally speaking, the man is stronger physically. You with me on that one, sir? But I believe also that the man, generally speaking, is more resolute, is more firm. I mean, when it comes, that means not quite as touchy-feely. Are you understanding me? Not quite as touchy-feely. This is the way. Walk in it. This is how it's going. And decisions can be made without a lot of boo-hooing sometimes. Understand? I believe that's the design of a man. Stronger physically, more resolute and firm. By the way, the husband is to provide security for his wife and family. If you ask me today, what is one of the major roles of the husband in the family? It's that right there. Put it back, please. It's to provide security for your wife and children. I'm talking about food, clothes, safety, for crying out loud. There's something about me being home that makes joy feel safer and the children safer. You know, and I know I go overboard sometimes. Is that going a lot? Or the kids will, you know, well, Elise is going to do that. Well, she's going to do it with who? And what, when, where, and how much? I'm all over that thing like white on rice. Why? God made me this way. He designed me to provide security for my wife, to provide security for my family. And if sometimes my kids don't like me for getting in their face and getting in their stuff and getting in what they're doing, that's tough. Amen. That's the way I'm made. They're my babies. They're my children. They're my responsibility. That's a man. That's what a man's supposed to do. I'm not saying I do it right all the time. Just sometimes I do go overboard. Okay? But that's what a man's to do. Let's look at the next one. Uh-oh. Here's where the fire is going to hit the fan. Go ahead. Ladies, start leaving. Go ahead. Joy will be leaving you out. Here we go. The wife and mother is to submit. And look at Rod. He did not do me a favor. He was ugly. He made that word submit giant. Do you see that? It wasn't that big in my notes. That's awful. I'm surprised you didn't do it red. Yeah? Here we go. The wife is to submit to her husband. Okay, let's keep moving. What's that mean, preacher man? Submit to my husband. Here it is. Here's four or five things I wrote down. Number one, the wife needs to know that her husband bears the ultimate responsibility for the family. The wife needs to know that. That husband before God is going to bear the ultimate responsibility for that family. Number two, she needs to know that her husband is going to give an accounting to God for his works. My husband, good, bad, and ugly, listen, he is going to give an account to a holy God for the way he led his family and his leadership. Ladies, I think that's helping. I'm trying to encourage you. that I know some of you got the cat by the tail and you're trying to have to do it. And I understand that. But I tell you what, you need to know that he's going to give an account to God for that. Number three, she needs to know that this is how God has designed the family. Wives, I didn't make up the family this way. It isn't me. It's the Word of the living God. This is the design. This is the owner's manual. Okay? God designed the family this way, and this is how he's going to pour out his favor on his family. And that's what it all gets down to me. If you want the blessing, like I said last week, on your finances, then be a go-getter, be grateful, be a giver, and believe God. But if you don't want the blessing of God on your finances, it doesn't concern me. Go ahead and do what you want to. Be broke. Okay? Same thing here. If you want to live your life, if you want to not go by God's design in your family and understand your role and relationship and make it work, it's really not going to affect the Clark household. It's going to affect your house. I want God's blessing on your life. And this is what God wants. He designed the family. You need to know that. I think that'll help you in submitting. Next, know that God isn't going to change his plan just for you in your unique situation. Ooh, us now. Here we go. Know that he's not going to do that. You don't understand, God. I've got this loser. Okay? I understand. I know that it's not over, and I know I'm speaking in generalities today. And I know there's single parents and things and struggles. I understand that. But I'm trying to speak generally what the Scriptures say today. God's not going to change his plan. But you don't understand. I can't submit to that man. I can't follow that man's leadership. He's not going to change his plan. There's favor and blessing in that path. Ooh, it's quiet today. Here we go. Woo! The wife, listen to this, the wife mother will not bear the responsibility for being head. I believe this with all my heart, regardless of the situation. Here's what I want to say. Single moms here today, I want to encourage you. If you, listen, you are not going to stand before God one day as the head. It ain't happening. You're not going to stand there. God is not going to, well, what about I had to raise those kids? You're not going to stand there in judgment. What, that man that got you pregnant? He's going to be there! You know? That husband that left you in a lurch of dirty, stinking dog, as far as I'm concerned, and if he's here, I'm sorry. Okay. But anyway, he is going to stand before God, not you, mama. I'm not saying it lets you off the hook so that you don't have to care for your children. No, you know you're going to do that because that's who you are. But that does not mean you're going to stand before God. I want to say something about deadbeat dads today. Will one day stand before a holy God and they're going to look into eyes that are a flame of fire. I say that to some of you single moms here today. I know you're hurting. And I want to say that to you as a little comfort today. That guy who left you like that doesn't help you a bit. I hear stories every once in a while. Heard a terrible, sad story the other day. Broke my heart. And it hurts kids when dads check out. They get a woman pregnant. They don't bear responsibility. It's horrible. Dads are to be leaders. They're going to stand before God one day. Look at this verse. Talk about Jesus. His head, his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. Say this with me. And his eyes were what? Flame of fire. Hey, listen, Mr. Dad Man, it ain't happening. You're not going to go one day with, oh, Jesus is so loving and kind and sweet and la, la, la. Let me tell you something. He's going to stare down at you with eyes that burn with a flame of fire. Because you offended your children. And he says, better millstone be put about your neck. You want to bear responsibility. I know that's hard. That's the Bible. What does submit mean? Here's what it means. To sacrifice. Number two, keep moving. To humble yourself. I'm not saying, ma'am, it's easy to sacrifice and easy to humble yourself, but that's what it means. Number three, to respect your husband. That's what submitting means. It means that you respect your husband. There's one thing I believe with all my heart that a man wants. It's respect. I could charge hell with a water pistol. If I know she's with me. Quite frankly, I believe everybody could turn against me. And if she's with me. Isn't that great? Isn't that true, guys? Come on, isn't that a truth? You know, your boss man, or you work at work, and you have people say things about you, or you can beat yourself up. But when she says, I love you, I believe in you, you're the greatest to me, I think you hung the moon anyway. There's something about that. There's something about that. And that's what I'm talking about. Respecting your husband. I'm not saying it's easy.
To die to self. Number five, to love. It means to honor. It means to nourish and to cherish. Okay? A little bit different than the man. You don't see provide so much up there. You know? Because I think that's what a woman wants. I think a woman wants security. I think a woman wants to know that that man ain't running around on her, and that man ain't going to abuse her children. Amen? And that man's going to provide and help with his house and make sure bills are paid. I know that's simple preaching. But as I talk to couples and counsel in marriage, you know what? It really ain't that complicated. It all gets real simple. And I heard it. Finally, generally speaking, the woman is stronger emotionally and more feelings-oriented. Now, this is me talking. Like Paul said in Scripture, I ride as a man. This is Gary. I ride as a man. Here we go. I believe that. Okay? That's a good thing, though. That's a good thing. I have to keep telling myself that. That a woman is more emotional. They're more feelings-oriented. You know, and we're sort of more, you know what I mean? Like that. But it is a good thing. Thank God, men, that we have wives that are stronger emotionally and do help us in areas of our life that we certainly would not be doing very well without it. She is to respect her husband and to emotionally provide for her husband and children. That's a major role of a wife, to respect your husband and to emotionally provide for your husband and your children. That's the kind of provider you are. That's the difference you can make in that home. Now let's look at something. I want to put them up together so you can see them work together. Roger's done a great job on the graphics today. Husband and wife. Look at this. Strong physically. Now, if we stop right there, strong physically, that could be a rough home sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But look at this. Throw the wife's part in. Strong emotionally. And they work together. You understand what I'm saying? Strong physically, strong emotionally. Those things work together. Next. Resolute, firm, physical, man. I've done that before. And then Joy does this number. Thoughtful. Feelings. I know that's the way, and I know that's what you're feeling, or that's what you say, but let me throw this to light. Let me add a little light from this side. And then all of a sudden, we work together. What is a marriage? Two become what? One flesh? Does that mean you just have one mind? Yes or no? No, you still got two minds, you still got two what? Wills. You can work them together. And there could be a long list here. I just threw a couple up. But when you work them together, it's amazing how this thing can work, and that's the design of family. I put this one like this. A lot of people say to me, the husband to be the spiritual leader in a home. Well, I think that goes without saying that if you're the leader, it'd be great if you're the spiritual leader as well. But you know what? I believe both the husband and the wife are to be spiritual leaders. Did you hear me? I believe both of you need to be spiritual leaders. Why? That's a command of Jesus Christ, for crying out loud. To follow Him, to love Him, to know His Word, to be in prayer. Those are not just one exclusive. That's your daddy's job. No, it's not. It's both of your jobs. Both Joy and I are to be spiritual leaders in our home. And it's not just on me, and it's certainly not just on her. We're both to do that. So we're ending our message now, and we never have said what this is, have we? Alright, here we go. Hang in here with me. I'm almost done. So what is a father and what is a mother? Here it is. It's a father that acts like a mother. A father is a father. This is my word. I made that. Here we go. A father is a father who acts like a mother. And a mother is a mother that acts like a father. Hang in here. We're getting somewhere. Keep going. Here we go. You've heard. You might be a redneck if you mow your grass and find three bathtubs in the front yard. You might be a redneck if you do that. You know what I'm saying? I said a few weeks ago you might be a southerner, but you might be a redneck if you call your mama mama, if you call your wife mama, if you call every woman you know mama. You might be a redneck. You might be a southerner. Well, here we go. Here we go. You might be I'm a father if. Are you ready? You might be I'm a father. What's I'm a father? That's a father who acts like a mother. You might be I'm a father. Help me here. You might be I'm a father if. One, instead of providing for your family, you put that responsibility on your wife. Did you hear me? Sir, if you put that responsibility, providing for your family, on your wife, then you are I'm a father.
Or you might be.
Not saying a wife shouldn't work. And hey, look, it's family. Work it all out in the relationship.
But who's to provide that security? The Bible says if a man, quote the first one if you know it, doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than a what?
Infidel.
That's what the Bible says.
Second thing. You might be a father if, instead of fostering a strong and secure environment in your home, you focus on feelings.
Okay?
I'm not saying, dads, we don't need to be feelings. But bottom line is, you know what your role is? Your role is to not like, oh, I'm just my...
Listen, your job is to provide a secure environment for that family, a safe environment, some resolution, some things like that, and lead that family.
Next. You might be a father if, instead of disciplining your children on God's commands on what's right and wrong, you relegate that to your wife. Go talk to your mother. Well, Dad, is this right or is this wrong? Well, go talk to your mother.
What?
Dad, provide strong leadership in that home. That's not your wife's responsibility. And by the way, here's the way my dad did it. My dad did this. We liked Daddy. I never saw him. But you know what? Dad never did spank us. Not once did Dad spank us.
You know, I got scared to death when my mom, when my daddy uttered these words. I'm going to tell your mama.
We knew we were dead.
Listen. It's funny, but here's what happens. If that's what you're doing, Dad, listen. You're going to make those kids end up hating their mama.
Oh, you're the buddy. You're the friend. You're the pal.
Leave disciplining up to your wife all the time for crying out loud.
Listen, relationships work together, don't they? We don't relegate that just to our wives. You work these things out together. But this is coming from my heart to yours today. You might be a father if, instead of leading a spiritually responsible life, you place the burden of godly leadership and influence on your wife.
You might be a father if, instead of being a leader in that home for spiritual influence, you put that on your wife. I'm not saying she can't have that too, but to just place that on her and not be a spiritual leader is being a father. Now finally, let's go to the wife. I always get scared when I do this one. You might be a mother if you're more career-oriented than family-oriented. That's how I feel. Okay? Not saying you can't have a career, ladies, but your family ought to come first. You ought to care about those kids. You ought to care about those... See, what I'm saying is, Dad just can't do what you can do. We can't do what you can do. We can't do the emotional things, the caring things, the thoughtful things. We just can't do it. We can't do it. We ain't designed that way to do it. Okay? So what do you care more about, your career or your kids? You're a mother if your focus is on your career. You might be a mother if you're overly hard on your husband and kids instead of providing strong emotional support and encouragement. What do I mean? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about a nagging wife is the continual dropping. That's what the Bible says. It's Chinese torture. Ting, 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 ting. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I've got a couple of ladies that come to my mind over my years of serving. That I tell you what, their husbands have to walk because if they make that lady mad, God help them, she'll kill them. You know what I'm saying? Listen, that thing's out of whack. All right. Instead of being over the arm of your husband and your kids for crying, I know that they need support and some emotional encouragement because that's something you can do. The next thing. You might be a mother if your focus is on leading your husband instead of respecting your husband. Okay? If your focus is on being that leader in that home instead of respecting your husband. I'm not saying that many times men don't step up to the plate and therefore ladies have to do it. I understand that. But I know there's that other side of the coin too. That if a lady and a woman, a wife, will respect, which is a real need of a man, great things can happen in that home and the design thing can start to work. And this is sort of a funny one. You might be able to mother if you let your kids eat anything.
That's Dad's job.
All right. Do not put dad in charge of the nutrition in the family. Amen? At least not in my house, don't do it. Okay? You'll be up the creek right there. Anyway, so that's our message today. Let's review real quick. I know it's been different for us, but this is our family time. It's a family series. Some things to remember, here it is. Say it with me, would you mind? It's not about being perfect. If you think you're the only one with this relationship problem and struggles, you're crazy. It's not about being perfect. That's why we have instruction. Number two, say it with me. It's about understanding your role in family relationship. That's what it's about, that two becoming one flesh. Understand, and this is just a little bit today to maybe get you started, get you thinking. Number three, say it with me. Learn to follow God's plan for your life. Mother, you're a mother. Father, you're a father. You're not a mother, and you're not a father. All right? I know sometimes we have to do things and we have to pick it up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just being totally bent one way and you know it. You need to do different. Next. Remember, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? Remember that. You're each different. That's why I said a couple of weeks ago, don't raise your kids like you were raised, because you're different. And don't raise them like your parents raised you. And remember, your children are not you. They're different. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. The last thing is this. Ephesians 5:21. Could you say that with me if you can see it? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That makes the best relationship right there. When Joy and I can submit to one another. That is the best relationship. You know, when I might say something and she doesn't necessarily, but you know what? We work it out. Or vice versa. We work it out. We submit to one another. We learn to work together in relationship. But at the end of the day, I am going to be the one that's going to stand before a holy God. He's going to hold me responsible for being the leader in my home. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this group today that listened, that laughed, that they were thoughtful. And so, Father, I pray that you'll bless your word. I know that when we're listening and we're thinking, good things can happen. And so, Father, I thank you for that. Thank you for the worship time and just the table being set today for your word to go forth. Father, this is your word. Oh, thank you for it, Lord. I'd be lost without it. Lord, thank you today for your word. Bless it out our hearts. Bless moms and dads, husbands and wives. Bless young people today. As they've heard this word, I pray they'll go in, they'll think about it, they'll find good ground in their heart, and your Holy Spirit will minister in their hearts and all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.